Hey, I'm Jenna Wolf, certified lactation counselor, parent coach, and extended breastfeeding mom of two. I fully understand the unique challenges of breastfeeding beyond the baby days, and I'm here to take your hand and support you along your journey. So toss that hair in a messy bun, grab a basket of laundry to fold, and let's get started. This is Start to Stop Toddler Breastfeeding. In today's episode, I am joined by my dear friend, Maisie Rattan, who is a heart-centered, holistic sleep coach with a specialization in toddler and child sleep. And she has an international practice where she supports frustrated and overwhelmed parents to responsively and gently support their kids to sleep without yelling or threats or bribes or sleep training. And I adore Maisie. We have really bonded over our shared demographic in our business that we support similar families, but also that our philosophies are really aligned in the way that we support families. In this conversation, Maisie really highlights the unique challenges that are apparent for, you know, families supporting their toddlers and children to sleep, but also the unique opportunities that are there that simply aren't there when you're talking about baby sleep. And I think that this is really what's missing when we kind of take the lens and the view of baby sleep resources and try and extend them into childhood. So it's a really wonderful conversation. Here it is.
First off, Maisie, I would love to hear a little bit more about you and your story and how you got to where you are today as a holistic sleep coach, supporting moms of toddlers. And just a little bit more about your story.
Yeah. Well, I am a nurse, or I was a nurse, and did that for many, many years, kind of psychiatric nurse. I was like counseling families and with behavioral and mental health things. And then I got pregnant and I had twins and, you know, I mean, people mean, right? You know, like they mean okay, but like, you know, everywhere I go, oh, wow, you must be due every day. I'm like, no, I'm only 20 weeks. And like, oh, wow, you're never going to sleep. Are you sleeping? Oh, wow. I used to want twins until I had one kid. I can't imagine having twins. And, you know, it to be honest, it terrified me. And so I'm a bit of a, you know, lover of learning. And so I, you know, obsessed and read like every, you know, pregnancy and sleep book I could get my hands on when I was pregnant. And you know what, like my twins actually slept okay. Like, I mean, they weren't amazing, but they slept like babies. It was just, you know, there was two of them. And so, you know, together it was hard, but they slept okay. And, you know, I helped a lot of friends with, you know, sleep, my, you know, mommy friends and my baby friends and stuff. And then, you know, somebody said I should be a sleep coach. And I was like, what? No, I got a good job. Are you kidding me? But then, you know, I didn't want to go back to work. And so I was like, yeah, maybe. And so it kind of just happened kind of like as a side hustle at first. You know, but the more I got into it and the more I realized like, wow, there's this like whole world of sleep training that, you know, parents are doing and they don't have to be, that there's other ways. And you know, I kind of just fell into the rabbit hole and like taking parenting course after parenting course and sleep course after sleep course. Like, I think I have like four certifications right now. And I'm working on another one. And yeah, somehow along the way, I found my passion for working with kids actually, I do work with babies as well, but my specialty is really working with, you know, toddlers and preschoolers. Yeah. It's been a route.
I feel so similarly, like I feel so many parallels to your story there too in my own. And I love that you're like, I studied and learned so much and then it was kind of okay. Like I had such a similar experience with breastfeeding where it was like, I read so much, I learned so much, I had so much support. And then it was like, okay, we did it. Like we kind of got through it and there was challenges.
That was so bad.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was the support and the education I had that brought me there. And then I could turn around and see friends who didn't have that. And their challenges were so similar to mine, but they were being so much more affected by it. And for me, I know that that was kind of the turning point. It was like, oh, okay. Like, I think I can help people here. Like, I think I got something. Like,
clicks, doesn't it? Like when you realize, hey, I'm doing okay. Cause like, I understand this. You kind of almost just want to like shout it from the rooftops, right? Like when you're talking with other parents and like they're, you know, they say something and it's like totally not true. It's totally a myth. Like I just like can't help but like pounce like, and like, well, actually, and you know, it's, I hope it doesn't come across as condescending sometimes, but like, it's like, you just want to help, right? It's
And yeah, you can see, I think a lot of times too, with the myths or the things that pop up, you, I think at least for me, there's like a compassionate side of like, oh, like that's like that. I know where that's coming from and I know the pain that's there. And also like knowing where that's going to lead you, like that, that's not setting you up for success. What I love too about you, Maisie, is I do focus on like toddler and preschooler sleep, which is amazing. And I think that that's another parallel in kind of our, you know, journeys of working, is that as little support as there is for like holistic sleep, which there is some support out there, but like it is mostly focused on babies. And like in breastfeeding too, like it's mostly focused on babies. And so there's a real need, I think, for the moms of toddlers and preschoolers, and whether they're breastfeeding or not, relating to sleep. On that note, perhaps like we could start out with maybe some of the ways that like toddler sleep is a little bit more unique than baby sleep, and like some of the unique challenges that moms of kids have versus moms of babies.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, there really isn't very much support out there that, you know, is really, truly gentle and really, truly holistic. And it is all focused towards babies, you know, like not to toot my own horn, but like, as far as I know, I haven't come across anybody else doing what I do. You know, I've found a couple of sleep coaches that specialize in kids that, you know, are sleep trainers that work quite different than me, but nobody that's doing what I'm doing. And it's a really a shame because, you know, it is so different, you know, and I think with babies, it's hard. Don't get me wrong. Like babies wake up and it's so hard, but it's normal for them to wake up. It's kind of, when you're pregnant, you may not know, but like it's pretty well known knowledge in the, at least the, you know, new parents world that, you know, you're not going to sleep very well. And, you know, I think the big difference is that for babies, so much of it is a need, right? Like they need that connection with us. They need that warmth of our bodies. It helps to regulate their body heat. You know, they need the milk overnight. And while there is, you know, societal pressure that like babies should be able to sleep through the night for 12 hours without a feed at 6 months, you know, it's actually not true. The research shows it's not true. But with toddlers, you know, it's, they can technically go all night without a food, right? They can technically, they're not as reliant on, you know, your physical presence, you know, that they can separate from you during the day, and things start to enter like personalities and saying no. And well, actually, if you say, you know, this, I'm just going to scream and, you know, or I'm just going to get out of bed. And, you know, this whole, it becomes a little person. And, you know, it becomes a bit of a battle, essentially. And you kind of, it's hard to recognize in that baby to toddler transition. And then even again, through the preschooler transition, like, what is a need? What is a want? And where do I fit in? Right. Cause as when babies, you know, most parents just, they just give, right. They just give. And that's why we don't shower. And that's why we drink cold coffee and all this kind of thing. But at some point you have to find yourself again, and you know, you have to tip that scale with like your own needs a little bit. Like, you can't run on empty forever, especially if you want to have another kid, right? And so you know, that's it. You know, you're dealing with, you know, language and you know, development, and you know, that the development of a will and a desire to do what they want to do, and that stubbornness that toddlers get, right? It's fun.
Yeah, I hear you. And there's like similarities and like a thread of like, yes, there's still like attachment needs, and there still are needs, and there still are those things. And they're not trying to be intentionally difficult, you know, in the same kind of way that we look at like with babies. But at the same time, there's just a whole new world. Like, and I think too, there's a whole new level of resources that are available to you in that kind of toddler to preschooler range that, like, if you're just picking up a book on baby sleep, like you're not even going to think about, right? Because you're talking about language and being able to have certain conversations and different kind of supports because they are able to be separate from you and whatnot. And I totally appreciate all of that. I think that that's a really helpful like reframe to, especially for moms that are in that like 18 months to 2 years, like heading into like in the beginnings of toddlers where you're kind of like, wait a second, what's happening here? You know, like something's changing. And to have that, like that mindset. And I think that that's really helpful too in the kind of attachment parenting world or gentle parenting space. A lot of times, you know, we do sacrifice our own needs so much in the beginning. And you're so right that there comes a time. I mean, I would advocate that like even in the beginning, like there's ways to support yourself and that supporting your own needs is really important, but we do. And I think that that's really common, you know, like surrender and like this too shall pass and like those kinds of things.
While. Yeah,
exactly. And not that those things are bad or wrong at all, but sometimes, especially when we really, really want to prioritize our child's well-being, we will become the martyrs. And then we end up being resentful because like at a certain point we're like, yeah, like something has to change. I can't go on like this forever. So I think it's so helpful to know that there is a difference. Like there is a difference in toddler sleep and you don't have to support your 3-year-old the same way that you were supporting your 3-month-old. There's new options available to you and the game has changed a bit. So kind of on that note too, I would love for you to, you know, this podcast is open to you moms of like breastfeeding at any stage. So I remember when my oldest was very young, I didn't even really know what sleep training was or like what that was or what that meant. So I was wondering if, you know, we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, but maybe you could kind of talk to that a little bit and what makes you unique.
Yeah. What makes me unique? Well, you know, I am a sleep coach, but you know, when people ask me to describe myself, cause they usually say, oh, you're a sleep trainer. And well, you know, I help people get to sleep, but I'm really more of a parenting coach with a specialization in sleep. And so I work, you know, I'm, you know, it's not just about the white noise and, you know, the bedtime routine and, you know, like a weighted blanket or something, or, you know, stopping, feeding to sleep or whatever you're told, you know, not doing any sleep associations. There's so much more that I do. And it's, you know, building confidence in the parent to, you know, be able to, you know, recognize what the different behaviors that you're seeing, you know, potentially could mean and what to do about it. And, you know, how to change what you do and what you say, to help form a foundation that your child can become more confident and feel safe and secure to become more independent in sleep, you know, organically and, you know, through natural normal development rather than, you know, pushing them into something and, you know, letting them cry it out. And yeah, so it's really quite different. You know, I don't believe that there are any bad habits. And so, you know, feeding to sleep, for all you mamas feeding to sleep, if that is working for you, don't stop. You know, it's a superpower. I freaking loved feeding to sleep. I remember being in Mexico with twins and they were, you know, just there. Well, I went twice. We went to when they were about one and one before they were just before two. And I remember being down at the beach on like one of those, you know, big cabana beds. And, you know, I've got twins. So unfortunately I'm like practically topless because I'm breastfeeding them and, you know, they fall asleep and then they're napping and they had like a good hour long nap on this cabana bed and I'm out of the pool. Whereas like other moms are going back to the, you know, the hotel room to go sleep. And I'm like, yeah, no, feeding is your superpower. It helps calm them. It helps sleep them continue. But there does become a time where it doesn't always work or right. They're wanting to feed all night long or, you know, it always becomes painful or you're resenting it or, you know, there's so many different things. And, you know, there's this big push to stop feeding. I hear a lot in the sleep world, you know, people contact me, I think I need to stop feeding, to sleep. I think I need to stop feeding. I need to night wean. And, you know, what people don't understand is, you know, that doesn't always help them sleep, right? Like you might just end up with a child who's not sleeping and you don't have your superpower to get them back down. Right. And so what are you going to do then? Right. And so that's where I come in and help, you know, make sure everything, all your ducks are in a row and that, you know, you're not just, you know, weaning for the sake of sleep, that we're helping you sleep, you know, get better. Often what I find is if you work on sleep, you know, they'll sleep better through the night and then you don't need to night wean and you still you'll have your superpower when you need it, but they're sleeping better. So you don't even need to night wean. And so that's the difference. That's the difference.
Yeah. I appreciate so much of that. I think even in my own experience too, I think there's so many reasons why parents believe they need to night wean. Some of it's just because we reached a certain age, so it just has to happen now, right? And other times, you know, it's like, well, things will get better if we night wean. And in my experience, or to leave their child, like I can't leave them with anyone because we haven't night weaned. And to be truthfully honest, my son I want to say just turned three, but he turned three a few months ago at this point. And we haven't officially night weaned. He still will breastfeed occasionally during the night. Sometimes very regularly, once or twice a night for like a period of time, but I can leave him with a sitter, with my husband overnight, with my parents. And he will fall asleep. He'll hang out with them. Like he doesn't have a problem with it. And I think that that's the thing. I say this a lot, that, you know, like breastfeeding isn't the problem, so weaning isn't the solution. And it's like breastfeeding it's one tool of many, right? And so it's normal. It's like a biological norm to breastfeed. So in and of itself, it's not the problem. So just eliminating breastfeeding didn't solve anything, you know, like so many times you can eliminate breastfeeding and the child will still wake up a lot. And you can keep breastfeeding and you can support the child in a way where sleep improves, right? And like where parenting improves and all these things happen too.
Yeah. I see, you know, times where, you know, that's what they've done for a long time is they fed to sleep and fed back to sleep, fed for naps, and it's worked. And then, you know, the toddler starts getting older, they start getting FOMO and more independent and it stops working. And then, you know, moms are like, what the hell do I do now? Right? Like, this isn't working. And, you know, they end up breastfeeding for like, you know, they're sitting in the dark room for like an hour trying to get them back to sleep. And then they pop off on the boob and they go, you know, story, you know, like, and it's like, what, why do you mean you're not asleep? And so, you know, you end up getting, you get resentful and, or, you know, toddlers become, the other downfall that I see is that, you know, kids can be really become so attached to mom that then they refuse to want dad. And like, this is probably the biggest situation that I get in terms of, you know, clients that come my way is that I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby in like 2 weeks or, you know, 6 weeks or whenever they reach out. And it's like, you know, my child refuses to let dad put them to sleep because all they know how to do is breastfeed to sleep. And it's like, what are we going to do? Right. And so it's, you know, I guess my biggest advice is, you know, like it's a superpower, use it, but it doesn't be the only way your child falls asleep. It's totally okay for them to fall asleep different ways with different people, actually different ways, even with you, right? Like you can feed them to sleep overnight because it's quick and you're tired, but maybe, you know, not feed them to sleep for naps or something. Right. And only on certain situations. And, you know, that comes down to like, you know, prepping and practice and boundaries and, you know, like getting them used to things, you know, not just like ripping the Band-Aid off. But yeah, the more help you can get and the more resilience you can create for your child and getting them used to different things, you know, will benefit you down the road for sure.
Yeah. And I think that that's like spot on with what I see too. And I would also say too that a lot of times, this has been my experience at least, when parents come to me in that kind of position. Now, they don't come to me normally for sleep issues, but they're so similar. It's very like rare that sleep issues aren't also somewhat daytime issues and daytime issues aren't also somewhat sleep issues. Like, and I hear you too. And you're like, I'm a parenting coach that like with a specialty in sleep. And that's how I feel like I'm a parenting coach with a specialty in breastfeeding. So I relate to that so much, but there's this fear or this like, you know, fear that the child won't be able to go to someone else, or, you know, and maybe like it's been, that fear's been founded in a, you know, a certain sense, but a lot of times, like it's our own like discomfort or like our own, like, ooh, that's causing a lot of tension and stress in the situations. And I guess I bring that up to say like, there are like so many possibilities and you're like there, you know, you could breastfeed to sleep sometimes and not other times. You can put them to sleep in different ways. Different caregivers can put them to sleep in different ways. And yeah, there is an element of getting them, you know, supporting the child to get used to that. And at the same time, I always find that if the caregivers are really like confident in themselves and in the situation, and they have that trust within themselves, that the child's often follow suit. Like sometimes they have some feelings about it and, you know, like there's those things, but when you can be that safe container for your child, like it really, honestly, for me, it comes down to emotional safety and emotional well-being in the adult so often, because when you have that container, when you can create that space, then the child, like, it's like, yeah, cool. Like I'm happy. That's what they really, really need at the end of the day. And I think that's coming up in my mind because I was just doing like a lesson on consistency and what consistency really means. And I always say that consistency isn't about always having the same yes and the same no. It's much more about always being that safe space for your child. That's what needs to stay consistent, right? Not always having the exact same boundary every single time, you know? Yeah. Anyways, that was my mini soapbox for a moment, but I so appreciate that. I resonate with that so much in my own work too. So yeah, I would love to, first of all, do you have anything else that it's kind of like on your mind to share in this setting about toddler sleep and breastfeeding? Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I mean, I could talk for hours about this, right? Like this is
right.
This is what I do, but you know, yeah, I think, you know, the thing that, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with in this, you know, in this space, right? You know, for the most part, you know, I work with people that identify themselves as gentle and attachment parents. And so, right. You know, many of them are breastfeeding, you know, beyond, you know, a year. And, you know, I think that's amazing. And, you know, that's the way it should be. But the downfall or the trap, I think that a lot of us fall into, and myself included, is that when you are a gentle parent and you are a responsive parent and, you know, you do breastfeed longer, is that your child never really cries because you always have such an easy solution for it. And so you kind of, you don't get that practice of like, you know, your child is crying because they want the blue cup and you gave them the red cup. And, you know, like, how are we going to help them through this? You know, when you solve it. The thing with breastfeeding, you know, it can become so challenging to really, you know, make changes with anything. And so you can feel really trapped. And there's nothing wrong with that. But right. You know, it's hard because then you just don't have the time and the energy and the effort to practice. And so you can kind of lose your confidence with things, as like you were saying earlier. Yeah, so I think this, the big thing is just, you know, not being afraid of that and, you know, practicing other things. We were talking about that earlier, right? Like practicing other things. Yeah.
Yeah. I always say that like toddler breastfeeding and weaning, it's like this like training ground, it can be, where you can have the opportunity to safely explore other techniques, other tools, knowing that you still have breastfeeding to fall back on when you need it, right? That like, you can like, and I completely hear what you're saying, but, and I think that many people are in that boat, and I would encourage them that there's this a kind of other way of like, giving it a like, okay, like let's support the tears for a little bit. Let's see what that's like. And you have the safety net of knowing that you can come back to breastfeeding. But I think that that also comes back to the consistency issue where a lot of people feel like, well, if I don't breastfeed this time, I have to always not breastfeed because I'm somehow moving backwards or, you know, anything like that. And I always come back to that, the idea that your child isn't learning that when they cry, like that, all they need to do is cry and they'll get breastfed. That's not what they're learning. What they're learning is when they cry, they are soothed. When they cry, when they're upset, there's a soothing. And so that could be breastfeeding. That could be you know, a snuggle. That could just be, you know, your presence, your secure presence while they're experiencing a big feeling, right? Like, but I always use that kind of visual of like, it's like a training ground where you can practice and you have the safety net of like breastfeeding. It's like, well, okay, we gave it a try and we always know we can breastfeed. But I always find that so many parents are like, they will push and hold off on breastfeeding until while they're practicing these things, because they feel like if they're breastfeeding, they're giving in or they're like this failure. And this particularly through the weaning process. But I'm always like, no, like it was good. You soothed them. That was good. Right. Like, and to have that opportunity to practice those things and that kind of like safety net of yeah, still having that breastfeeding tool, which I call like the all-in-one tool. It's the all-in-one parenting tool. It does all the things. And when the babies are born, that's the only tool you got. That's pretty much like you don't have a ton right in that early stage. Like that's your best one. But then as they grow, then you expand that toolkit, right? And you kind of always have that in your back pocket until you don't. So yeah, I think that's really helpful. And I do think that there is something unique about parents in who identify in the gentle parenting space from the beginning, that there are unique challenges that come to the table with that. And sometimes we, you know, it's like the pendulum can kind of swing, not saying we're too gentle or anything like that. That's not it at all. It's more that, you know, instead of like fully being in your own needs, it's like fully being in your child's needs instead of finding a way to support both of your needs without sacrificing one for the other, right?
Yeah, the scale gets tipped towards the child all the time, and you know it never balances out. And you know, I would argue to say that, you know, at least the parents that come my way, they do tend to be a little bit on the passive side. And you know, it's the challenge then becomes when, you know, the scale has been tipped, you know, in your child's way for so long and you are passive, but then, and it's okay, it's working. But then when it doesn't work, you know, that's when I'm seeing families, you know, snapping and yelling,
right,
and like,
exactly.
Doing all these things that they just like, this is not what I wanted to do. Right. But it's like, you know, it's the regulation piece of like taking care of yourself is in all of this. You need to have the capacity to be able to say no and handle the tears. If you're too tired, you're never going to do it. Right. Like there's no way you'll give in every time. And if that's working, that's fine. But you know,
I hear you. And I think that is like such an important piece though. I talked about this in my workshop I did recently, but, like interoception, right? The ability to like know what's happening inside of your own body. We kind of turn that off as parents in a lot of ways when we're sacrificing our own needs. And, you know, we're conditioned from very young often to do that, to like not identify, even to say like, I don't even realize I have to pee until like my bladder is exploding. Right. But it's also interoception isn't just about being able to feel your organs, but it's also about being able to feel your emotions. And we will often push through our own discomfort in order to provide comfort for our child. The problem is that your child's well-being is actually directly correlated with the ability that you have to sense and be with your own feelings and your own body sensations. And so it's like we think we're doing the right thing by pushing and stuffing and breathing through it and just, okay, I'm just going to stay here with this. But we're actually pushing down on our own needs, right? And we're creating more discomfort within ourselves. And we forget that, like, we talk about a breastfeeding dyad, these two parts of a whole, but it's an attachment dyad, which is any attached relationship, which means you and your child are one in so many ways, right? You're co-regulating. You're attuning to each other. So if you're not taking care of yourself, like, it's gonna wreak havoc. And that's not to make you anyone feel guilty or bad. It makes sense. We're people pleasers by nature, many of us. And so we people please our kids. But yeah, it's an important piece, I think. I like to bring it up as often as I can, because I just think we don't think that way. We don't see that very often and understand that sacrificing your comfort for your child's comfort is going to backfire.
It does. You know, when you're saying this, it made me think of like so many moms who are spending hours trying to get their child to sleep at night. And they're like, they're missing out on spending time with their partner. And, you know, they're like thinking about the dishes that are still in the sink and the laundry that needs to be changed over. And they're like trapped in the bedroom in the dark, breastfeeding, even though their like nipple feels like it's going to fall off because it's been an hour. And, you know, like your child can sense that.
Right.
Like they are sponges, like you said. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard, yeah. you know, there's no blame here, no shame here. It is what it is, but you know, it just comes again back to the theme I think that we're talking about today is that regulation and that self-care piece and, you know, balancing the scale is so important.
Yeah. And I talk about it as the toddler breastfeeding stress cycle, because we get stressed out and then they get stressed out. And so then they breastfeed more. So then we get stressed out. So then they get stressed out and they breastfeed more. And it like, you know, it just goes down the hill and then spirals out of control until everyone's just super stressed out. And I think like an important piece that when I talk about self-care and when we talk about self-care to remember too, is like, even your own thoughts and what's going on in your own head, a lot of times, and I think that this is really relevant to sleep and to breastfeeding. There's just so many cultural ideas about what should be happening and what shouldn't be happening that I see it sometimes as the issue when you're lying in bed and your toddler's been breastfeeding for an hour and your nipple's about to fall off and you're thinking about the laundry, the dishes. And I've been there. Oh, have I been there? I understand it so well. But you know, the thing that's compounding the stress inside is often that like, oh, like I've created this rod for my own back, so it could be that side of harshness on ourselves, but also it could be like, you know, I'm not peaceful enough. I'm not gentle enough. My child's not attached enough. What do I need to, and like all the things that we need to change, you know, like we're just so focused on that. And just it truly, you know, I'm a Pure Joy parent coach, certified Pure Joy parent coach, and Leslie, who founded Pure Joy, you know, she talks so much about self-aggression, and we're just self-aggressing at that point. Like we're just beating ourselves up, and here's our sweet little child who fully relies on us for everything. And how does it feel to sense that the caregiver, the one that like, you know, meets all your needs and is like there for you, is like getting beat up? Like your body, your biochemistry is literally changing. Your physiology is changing. Like they can sense that, you know, like you're gritting your teeth and now they're breastfeeding more. And what does that trigger? More and more thoughts, more and more stress. Right. So
it's so common. Yeah. Like, I love that term, self-aggression. I recently, well, in 2022, I, you know, took upon the task of interviewing families. I interviewed more than 60 families that, you know, with kids between the ages of like 2 and 4, and was asking them, you know, what was the hardest thing about sleep? What's working? What's not? You know, like, where are you at? Right. And asking them what the hardest part was and like what's going on through their head and things like this. And every single one, okay, maybe not every single one, but like almost every single one had this self-aggression going on where, have I done something wrong? Should I have done this? Did I create a bad habit? You know, should I have just sleep trained? Am I too soft? Am I too this? And like the list of like the guilt, so much guilt and shame, right? Like my other friend's kids sleep just fine. I must be doing something wrong. It's just so profound. And, you know, I want you to know that, like, and for anyone listening, you are not alone. Like this, like, yeah. I'm telling you, like of all 60 people that I interviewed, I would say probably 95% of them said these exact same things. And the ones that didn't, and I said, oh, well, the other mom said this. They're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. So it's still applied. They just didn't, you know, volunteer the information.
Yeah. I hear that so much. And that is, yeah, like that is where we get into the nuts and bolts in the work I do in a lot of ways, is getting into that kind of thoughts. And then the antidote, as far as I see, is self-compassion. It's self-compassion. And then you slowly rebuild, because what you're talking about really, right? It's lack of trust in yourself. It's like, you know, not trusting your intuition, not being with the reality of the situation. And even if even if the past you could have, should have, would have done something different, you're not there now. You're here, you know? And so a lot of times that guilt is just like our inability to just kind of be with reality for what it is right here and now. And when we're kind of stuck in the past in our head, you know, we lose access to our creative thinking and our problem solving. And truthfully, the presence and the bond that we wanted that we want to have with our child and that we're beating ourselves up about in the first place. Kind of ironically, we lose that, right? Because we're so lost in this other space. And that's, I think, when we suffer, we're, you know, and it's really internal. We're kind of bringing that on ourselves. But I think that that's really important to note, because so often, I mean, don't you know, Maisie, everyone wants the tips and tricks, right? Everyone wants the tips and tricks. The tips and tricks. And I'm like, yeah, the tips and tricks are self-compassion and meeting yourself and, you know, like doing this inner work. Like that's...
There's always tips and tricks I can give
people,
right? Whenever I ask in those interviews, you know, I ask them, what do you think you need? I just need you to tell me what to do. I just need to know what to do. And, you know, I could give you step by step things to do. And I do in my group program, I give you a step-by-step list of things to do, but you know, you're going to doubt it. Oh shit. Am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. You know, like if you don't have that. And so, you know, I actually, you know, those interviews completely transformed the way I work. I mean, I did this stuff before, but like, right. I now know, like, you know, my group program has a whole module on like mama care and another mm-hmm. whole module on mindset. And, you know, these are the pieces that, you know, make the program successful. Right. Cause like, yes. I hear from people all the time, it is like, oh yeah, I purchased this guide or I purchased this book and, oh, I've heard this before. And, you know, this is all review. I know what to do and why isn't it working? And, you know, this is the piece that's missing.
Yeah. 100%. I don't even get into the, like for my course, there's certain bonuses that I have that are more how to, and I don't release them until partway through. Cause I was like, okay, we got to work on some other stuff first, because if I give that to you right now, it's not going to work because you're going to be using it really as a method to control the external so that you feel more comfortable inside. But you need to turn your eyes on yourself first before we can look at the external. We really have to start with the internal, you know? So, I love that. I would love to sit and talk all day, but we should probably wrap up. So Maisie, I would love for you to just share where people can find you and what you've got going on. Cause yeah, I think you're amazing and I want people to connect with you.
Thank you. By all means. Yes. I'm probably most active on Instagram. So you can find me there at Maisie.Rattan. And I have a Facebook group as well, Gentle and Responsive Mamas Seeking Sleep and Sanity, where in both places, you know, I do like little Q&As and stuff like that. And you can find a community of other moms that are very similar in a similar boat to you. You know, I work, you know, individually doing coaching. And then also I have my group program, Hello Bedtime, which is, you know, the only, you know, gentle, you know, parenting program for toddlers and kids, all, you know, specified for them, right? Sleep and mindset and all the things we've been talking about in there. And, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't even describe it because I just stumble up every time the transformations that moms get. Yeah. It's just amazing. But I think, you know, the thing is that, you know, what I've also brought into my programs is, you know, like lifetime ongoing support, because that's the thing is that when we are struggling with the confidence and we don't know what to do, you know, it's often, you know, a quick fix. And so I'm quite happy to, you know, continue to support people. And so with my program, once you're in and, you know, we get you sleeping, if something happens, your child gets nightmares or, you know, who knows what can happen, because sleep's always up and down, right? You still got me in your back pocket. And, you know, that's my commitment to, you know, helping moms in this space, because it's a lonely place to be.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that so much. And I think that that does go back to what we were talking about before. And, you know, when you are sacrificing your needs so much, you kind of turn around and 2 years have gone or 3 years have gone and you're like, do I have friends? Do I know people? Do I talk to other adults? Like,
see this, I get like a DM from somebody. I'm like, oh, you know, when's Hill Benedictine running next, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh man, I scroll up. I talked to you 6 months ago and I talked to you like nine months before that. I'm like, oh, honey.
Yeah, I totally hear you. That is amazing. It has been wonderful to have you on, Maisie. And yeah, everyone go check out Maisie on Instagram. I still learned so much from all of her incredible posts, and definitely check out her course.
If you loved this episode, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss any episodes in the future. Also, check out my breastfeeding toddler communication guide and cheat sheet to learn how to say no to the feed while still saying yes to the need at www.ownyourparentingstory.com/guide. And that concludes another episode of Start to Stop Toddler Breastfeeding. The theme song is Little Balloon by Jenny and Tyler. And it has been a pleasure to share this time with you. I'll catch you in the next episode.